afternoon, everyone. The topic of my presentation is connecting crop water stress and exposure to extreme temperature and drought effects using systems thinking. I'd like to first acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Kannan, and also the funding agency, USDA NEFA, Evans Island Project. This is my talk's outline. It is divided into three parts. I have a background, the first part where I describe some of the terms that I'm going to use. The methodology is a 10-step process, and the application where the conceptual model is developed that brings about the connection between the terms here. So this work is based on the preliminary work that was published recently. So whatever is coming in this presentation is the next step after this work. So if you have some background information, that can be obtained from this paper. Take a moment. Imagine a future world with extreme temperatures. A future world with drought, and a future world with water stress. Some of us are seeing these currently. Some of us are experiencing it, some of us are working with it, and some of us just read about it. I'm not going to go into the details of the terms, plant water stress and extreme temperature, but later on I'll touch upon that to see how I'm using those concepts to bring about the connection. So if you're talking about exposure, if you look at IPCC report, this is the AR4 report. Here, exposure is one of the functions of vulnerability, one of the parameters. The others being sensitivity and adaptive capacity. And the more recent version of the IPCC, here exposure is a prerequisite for vulnerability assessments. And in simple terms, I would define exposure as the degree of stress on a unit of system. So vulnerability becomes the degree to which the system is susceptible to and is unable to cope with adverse effects of change. This is the IPCC scenario. And there have been various methods for estimating exposure, you can see in literature. I'm not going to go into the details of it. A few things is you can see rainfall and temperature. People have used it as a single stressor. They have used either rainfall or temperature, or they have used in combination of those two variables with other local variables that are available there. The next is the concept of systems. So here I see systems as a group of interrelated components that are integrated and behave in a certain way and or serve certain purposes. They are normally under constraints and or external influences. So if you think of a system here, it has some inputs, it has outputs, and there can be a feedback. It can be an open system or a closed system. And the term systems and components are often interrelated. So if you look at this system here, it has this, the oval is the system and the square boxes are the components. You can say a system has multiple components and each component can be a system with smaller components here. And how do you differentiate? There are two ways of looking at it. It can be soft or hard. How do you differentiate? How I see it is, depending upon how the system characteristics are there, we can define whether it's hard or soft, and whether the boundaries are rigid, for example, or it is soft. Is it very fuzzy? So you call it soft. So when you're talking about systems thinking, we think in a loop structure. It's like gives us a big picture view. And here I would say systems thinking is a discipline for seeing wholes rather than parts, and for seeing patterns of change rather than static snapshots, and for understanding the subtle interconnectedness that gives living systems their unique character. So you can see that A leads to B, B leads to C, and C leads to A, and that loop. But if you look at the traditional or the straight event-oriented thinking, where you say A and B events lead to C, C leads to D. This is one example. I would not go into too much of details. Here you can see that if a plant produces more photosynthesis, there is more growth, then leads to more stem mass and then root mass, which leads to leaf mass and increased photosynthesis. So you can see there is a reinforcing effect here. And similarly, if you look at this one, where when there is more root mass, there is more nutrient uptake if there is nutrient availability. If there's not much nutrient availability, you have less nutrient uptake. So they have a balancing effect here. So with this background, I'll go into the second part of my talk, which is the 10 step. These are the 10 steps that I would work on to develop the conceptual model. So here, first we have to define the system's scope and objectives. It is related to plant water stress, high temperature, and drought. And what are some of the constraints that we would face when you're looking at this design? And how would we conduct the abstraction of the system? The next is you develop the model. Then you obtain the data and information. You estimate exposure, handle uncertainty, and incomplete information. You verify and validate the model and investigate what ifs. You draw conclusions and continuous model improvements happen. So that I would go into the third part, which is the application. So when I looked at the water, plant water stress, a lot of parameters influence plant water stress. It's a function of many environmental variables. Most commonly is the soil moisture, you can see wind, humidity, and the heat load. You can also see it as a response. How plants respond to water stress vary from plant to plant. These are some of the characteristics of the plants that change because of water stress. And most of the speakers in front of me, before me, had already said about these terms. But how I look at it is, what are some of the changes and how do we represent these when you're looking at exposure? Same is, what are some of the negative impacts of high temperature and drought? So you try to look at it and some of them are same across both, while some of them can be slightly different. So the second step is you have to identify what are some of the constraints. So one of the constraints is the complexity in exposure assessment. It is complex because of the dynamic structure, the constantly changing nature of some of the variables that we use in vulnerability assessments. The different scales that we have, the different variables, the different processes happen at various scales. The different components, the biophysical, social, economic components that come part of the exposure assessments. And we have multiple uses of these assessments. So depending upon that use, the actual complexity can come up. And we have very limited observations of exposure. Vara did mention some of those values of variables that we are looking at. But if you see that, if we have to evaluate an exposure model, we have trouble because of very limited observed data on exposure. So the third part is, the third step is we are trying to make an abstraction of the system. So if you look at vulnerability, you can see it as a function of three components. One is exposure, which is nothing but the degree of stress. And the second one is the sensitivity. In simple terms, it refers to the response to stress. And adaptive capacity is the adjustment to stress. The other more common framework is the DPSIR framework for vulnerability assessment. Here, D stands for the driving forces that are causing the exposure, the pressures, the state impacts, and the response, and how they are connected. So in this model here, that this is a preliminary model that I developed in this study, and this combines both the DPSIR framework and the IPCC framework. So if you look at exposure here, if you're looking at exposure degree of stress, it has external stresses. It takes in the plant water stress is taken as a system. It has some internal processes which we represent using characteristics. The small arrow represents the interaction with the environment, and the star here represents the external stresses. And how do you represent the characteristics of those stressors? We represent using, you can use it call as change factors or indicators or parameters, statistics that you calculate from these external stressors. So when then both of them are there, the system is there, a stressor is there. When they are just before impact, everything is normal. But then when there is an impact, there is a response and the system changes. You can see the oval nature, the shape changes. Even the stressor can change, but in this condition, in this case, we are assuming there is no change in the stressor characteristics. They can have some feedback back to the the stressors also. But this component also, we are not considering in this study. So how do we validate here? So one way of validating our exposure is change in the yield and also the changes in the ET. So when we are looking at external stressors, how do you get what the external stressors are? Here, if you look at the graph from a study, you can see that the temperature has different impacts on the different processes of the plant growth at different stages. So temperature can be one of the stressors here. You can see the higher temperature, the rate goes down. Here, drought can also be seen as a lack of precipitation over a period of time. So temperature and rainfall are considered as stressors here. Now, if we have to identify the stressor characteristics, how do we go about doing this? We looked at the different changes that it has, temperature and rainfall, has on the different components of the system. So you can see that there is a change in the grain weight during some stages of the plant growth. The same way, depending the grain number changes. So the different stages of plant growth becomes important. And how do you represent that? GDD stands for growing degree days. So you can have growing degree days, which we can estimate from temperature, can be one way of representing some of the internal characteristics. You can also think of some failure temperatures at different stages that can create crop failure. And we can also think of some threshold temperatures beyond which growth happens or doesn't happen. So these are some ways you can look at some characteristics for the two stresses. Same way you can look at the variability of how the other impacts are affecting the changes. So now we are thinking about the plant water stress. We want to find out how do we find out the internal processes that happen here. So again here and then after impact, stages in the plant growth can represent some of the internal characteristics of the system. And transpiration can also have an impact because when there is more water stress, we know that the stomatal closes. So less transpiration happens. So that can also be one of the characteristics. So how do we validate here? One way could be evapotranspiration. The other one could be the looking at the yield of plants. So if you look at the conceptual model developed, you have external stressors for connecting both the extreme temperature and water stress and water plant water stress and extreme temperature and drought. So you can have the stressors as temperature and rainfall, which can be represented using stressor characteristics such as stages in the plant growth, GDT from temperature, crop failure temperatures, threshold temperatures. And then you have representation of plant water stress using stages in the plant growth, growing degree days, and transpiration. We have these processes. We look at it before and after response and then try to validate the model. So the fifth step is to obtain data and information. So these are the various steps. It's little, too much of information is there, very busy slide. So most simplified is, you select a study region, you select the crop or multiple crops, you select the stressors, then you identify one or more stressor characteristics, as well as for the system in which you are working. Look at some of the internal characteristics. Identify the time of the year you want to look at, and select the aggregation method. When you have multiple characteristics, how do you combine them together? Do you use simple averaging or do you use other more weighted averages method so that you can combine them? Then finally, you estimate the exposure index. Initially, we looked at the Kansas 20 centennial data from Kansas. And we looked at the daily temperature, long-term trends, short-term trends, and we also estimated the ET from SWAT model. This is the formula for estimating the exposure index, and the combination of different aggregation of different indicators depends upon the weights. And here in this study, we used a simple weighted averaging method. So if you look at the exposure indices, there are around five approaches you normally take to estimate them. You use a single stressor or you use multiple stressor. And in a single stressor, it can have a mean or an extreme climate. And in a multiple stressor, it has a mean and an extreme climate and their combination. Since we are looking more at this study and the extreme, you can see the three approaches can be used here in the study. So these are the variables that are used to represent them. So maximum temperature, minimum temperature, days with maximum temperature greater than 35, and similarly rainfall temperature and days with maximum temperature 30 and 33. You chose this as a mean because it represents the average climate. So this is the spread represents the changes between the 23 stations in the 100 years data. You can see the indices, exposure indices varies. And depending upon what type of representation, how do you represent the stressor characteristics, you can see the same, for the same time period, so different variations, so different patterns. And here if you see, the more dominant indicators in an equal weighted average dominates. This also is another slide which shows across the variability across different 30-year time periods. So this is the temporal variability, and the spread of the box represents the spatial variability. You can see the values in all the figures in the y-axis are very different. So how do we get measurements on exposure to say which one is more appropriate? That is a question we still have. So for this, what we looked at is we had crop performance experiments results for the last 50 years, and which specifically said the years that were stressed by temperature and rainfall. So we looked at those years. The blue shades here represent the years that were stressed by either rainfall or temperature in the crop growing season. And The yellow one is one we got from the literature. We know the dust bowl in Kansas was one of the severe stressful period for the crops there. Similarly, the back-to-back droughts in the 1950s were also very quite stressful for the plants, and they were quite exposed. So that is one way we looked at using proxy variables, that here yield was the proxy variable to represent the exposure. So if you're looking at the drought, this drought index SPI was used here with a 3, 9, 24 for 9 climate divisions. Here, instead of individual stations, we looked at the 9 climate divisions and we looked at the data. You can see the variability there. And when we're trying to validate it with ET, you don't see much of a difference here. So the blue line represents the ET here, and the exposure index, you don't see much of a correlation. So we have to look at the other variables and see which one is more represented. That is something we are planning to do in the next few months. The next, we can also use these studies using the systems approach. You can bring out some causal relationships between them. So here, if there is climate is represented using temperature, which in turn is used, a maximum and minimum temperature is used to represent the temperatures, and from which we calculate the growing degree days, which represents the different crop growth stages. You have the plant phenology using that, and then we can choose which crop type or crop variety we can, and they have a feedback back to the climate. So the question is, what type of an indicator are we using? If you use a different indicator, a different characteristic, this would change. And what aggregation method are we looking at? And what are some of the threshold temperatures are we looking at? And what if we don't have a validation data? These are some of the what-if scenarios that we would like to investigate. With this, I would like to say that we will draw a conclusion is just that our model that we developed is here and it is going through continuous improvements. So with this, I like to summarize the model, and through this model, I'm trying to bring out the connection between crop water stress and exposure to extreme temperature and drought using systems thinking. With this, I'm open to questions. And
thank you, Dr. Anandi. A big round of applause for Dr. Anandi.